great to have all of you ladies here today. You notice that this is a class about building relationships that last, and we do not have a single male in here. My name is Jeanette Inman, and it is my privilege to be with you today. Been excited about this. I believe that God has ordained this time for us together. We have been in prayer about it, and excited about what God wants to do in your life. No matter who you are, where you are in your life, I thought there for a minute that Dennis was going to go ahead and begin to teach this class as he started talking about the relationships, but he set it up very nicely so that we can begin to talk about relationships today. So I want to start off with you introducing yourself and telling us where you're from, because we're going to do some interactive things. This is going to be very informal. I want it to be practical. That's one of the things I love to do, is to give people practical things. List that you can look back on and say, okay, this is happening. I remember this workshop I went to. Let me go over steps 1, 2, and 3. Is that what's happening here? Okay, then this is what we're looking at. And I really enjoy that kind of thing myself. I want something that's going to help me in my everyday life, Monday through Friday or Saturday, and on Sundays. Relationships in churches are some of our most difficult relationships. Do I get an amen from this group for that? All right. Sometimes they can be really challenging. Okay, let's start over here with them. And we've got 5 of our ladies in the green today. All right, start over here.
My name is Melissa Stewart, and I'm from Greensboro. This is my church.
Oh, great.
I'm Deanna Holby, and I'm from Greensboro. This is my church.
Wonderful. I love Calvary. I love your pastor. I've known him for a long time. And he's a great guy. Wonderful church here. Okay.
I'm Carmen Graham, and I'm from Thomasville, North Carolina, about 30 minutes from here.
Great. Are you? Do you attend Steve Shamlin's church there, First Assembly? In?
No, I go to Christian Life Center.
Oh, okay. I can't recall.
Richard Brown.
Yes, I'm not as familiar with him, but Steve Shamlin is a friend of ours, all of ours, and he's there in Thomasville, so we know where Thomasville is because we used to live really close to there. So it's great to have you here today. Okay.
I'm Diana Kimes, and I'm from Cookeville, Tennessee.
Okay.
Carolyn Roberts from Cookeville.
Ladies came a long way. I just know you're going to have, God's just going to bless you extra for all that effort. Yes, ma'am.
Kelly Camille, from Havilah, North Carolina.
Okay.
Rachel Jordan, from
Cookeville. Okay, great. You ladies are out of the coast, right? Great to have you here today, all right?
I'm Maria Gonzalez, and I'm from Bluefield,
Virginia.
Okay. Maria? I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay, super.
Phyllis Rose from Albemarle.
Sandy Edmond from Albemarle, North Carolina.
Okay. Phyllis is one of our missionaries, our AG missionaries. She's itinerating, getting ready to, collecting her money, raising her funds, getting ready to go to Peru, where she's going to be working with abandoned children, babies and children. I can't wait. If she gets there, I get to come. I've already got that set up. And love on the babies. Phyllis has been in Honduras, and she taught English there at the Bible school, worked with Latin American child care, and several other things. So, get to know Phyllis. We have lots of wonderful people to get to know this week. So many times we look at people and decide, this person looks like somebody I want to know. This person looks like somebody I don't want to know. Let me encourage you to lay that aside. God has invested incredible gifts, incredible things in every single one of us. Sometimes you have to dig a little deeper. That's what building relationships, we're going to talk about that a little bit today. But let me encourage you to do that. Do step out of your comfort zone, even if you tend to be shy. Force yourself to talk to somebody, to listen to them. Ask them something about themselves. So we're going to work on that a little bit today. And some of us tend to want to be quiet. And a lot of times I'm that way. I don't want to jump right in. I'm not one of those people that when you go to the hospital, you know, you get on the elevator and you go up and the door opens and there is this cheery person there going, "Hello, how are you today? So good to see you." And they step in and they talk to you all the way up. And usually I tend to be quiet, but that's just difference in our personalities. We're all different. God has a wonderful sense of humor and He loves variety. So let me encourage you, regardless of whether you're the one who loves to talk or you're the one who loves to remain quiet, go ahead and get out of your comfort zone a little bit. If you really like to talk a lot, tone it down and listen a little this weekend and get to know some people, because if I had time, I'd love to get to know every single one of you in the room, because I know you have some wonderful things, histories that I'd love to hear about, and what God's doing in your life and what dreams you have. My name, as I said, is Jeanette Inman, and I am the mother of two single daughters. I'm a pastor, I'm a speaker, and a freelance writer. And I prefer to refer to myself as mature. So I've been around a while. Been in church 9 months before I was born, and ever since then, been very blessed. God has wonderful keeping power. And I was very blessed to have Christian grandparents, Christian parents. And so it's church is where I'm very comfortable. Sometimes I have to remember that relationship is more important than just being in church. Because sometimes we just kind of get into routines and we kind of cruise to that. Church is where we need to go because we know that's what we need to do. But we always need to focus on that relationship with the Lord. And that is the number one relationship that we have to have. Or no other relationship will work. You can love other people only in the relation, only relative to the love you have for the Lord and the love relationship you have with Him. And that's where you begin to build true relationships, is as you have a good, strong relationship with the Lord. It's not in your notes. I threw that in for just a free comment. Again, as I said, I don't remember if you ladies were in here. I commented that all ladies, I should have anticipated that. Women are much more open to relationships than men. Now, lasting relationships, let me qualify that. We ladies like to connect. We like to have relationships with other women. There's the old joke about every time you go to the restroom when you were little, or even as teenagers, two or three of you had to go at the same time. You know, everybody's always talking about that. Oh, so we're very social. We enjoy relationships. The guys are kind of different. You know, they want to be cool. They don't want to act like they need anybody. So they are not as relational as we women are. So that makes it very difficult. The relationships we're going to talk about today, it can be male, female. I was so glad that Dennis talked about you need male friends. Particularly if you're a single woman, there's nothing wrong with having friends, male and female, that you get to interact with, that are a part of your life, and hopefully the singles ministry at your church is a wonderful place to do that, where it's safe. There are many things that we cannot control in our life. Anybody's life been out of control lately? Mine has been a little tough lately. I've had some things that I didn't expect. I think we probably need to close this door because I talk loud. Thank you. But there are two important things that we can't control. We can control who we want to love and how we will love them. Isn't that great? Think about that. Sometimes it's not a good thing, because sometimes you need somebody to love you and they don't. And that can be very painful. That can be a parent. I don't know if any of you in here are divorced, but it can be a spouse that's rejected you and they decided they didn't want to love you. And that is incredibly painful. But that doesn't mean that you can't find somebody else that you want to love and that will love you. You can decide how you're going to love people. We all need relationships. We were created with a large God vacuum in us. Our first relationship has to be with Him. He created us so that we cannot be happy or complete without Him in our lives. And when we accept Jesus and that void in our life is filled, then we can move on. We need each other. I know Dennis was going to sing a little bit this morning, but I'm not going to sing for you. But I always think of Barbara Streisand's song, People Who Need People. We need people. There's lots of scriptures that we can look at. I've got some of those listed for you where the Lord says, if you don't have a friend, what if one of you falls down? Who's going to pick you up if you stumble and fall? And you're always needing relationships. Even before you were born, you needed the relationship with your mom that carried you. It is a scientific fact that babies in the womb know if they are wanted before they're born. That baby growing knows when you were in your mother's womb, the Lord had put down in His book of remembrance everything about you. He knew your life, what was going to come up in your life, what color eyes you have, what your name was going to be, that you were going to be here at this conference today. He knew all about you. It's all in His book. And He knew that you were going to need that mom to love you. And some people are very blessed and they had that. Others have not. It makes it very tough. If from that very beginning you don't have that relationship, that is the foundation also of relationships with other people. If you have that acceptance and that love that you, from your parents, your mom first, and then from your father. If not, then sometimes we have to catch up. And we have to begin to understand that as we get older and begin to fill in that gap. We'll talk a little bit later in either this session or the second session, which is on safe people, which builds on this, that sometimes we don't go to the people that we need because we're looking for that parent that we never had. And so you look for a person in a relationship that is going to be a parent rather than an equal that's going to give you what you need. Why do we reach out for relationships and why do we need them? We're lonely. If you're single, you're lonely. If you're married, you can be lonely. You can sit in a group, in a room at this conference, in a room of 10,000 people, and you can still be lonely. If you don't have a person that you can connect with, that you have some type of relationship that pours into your life, and it doesn't make you a person that needs to feel like you're not worth anything because you're lonely. We all are lonely. We need people. We need one another. God did not create us to be that lone sheep He was talking about this morning. He did not create us to be out on our own. He created us to need one another. Sometimes we're hurting. We need understanding. Sometimes we're stressed. We need help. When you hurt, who do you call? Anybody want to offer a suggestion? Tell me, you don't have to say a name. Do you call a friend? Do you call a mom, a dad, a sister, a brother, aunt, uncle, somebody at church, your pastor? Anybody want to offer? Who do you call when you're really hurting? When something's really painful and you need help? Of course, first place you go is always to the Lord. But then you need somebody with skin on, don't you? We need Jesus with skin on to talk to somebody that's going to listen to us. When I hurt, I have certain people I call. There's one of my friends that when something is just, I'm just like, I just don't think I can make it another day. This has almost brought me to my knees. I can call her and I can say, I'm going to die. This is going on and I don't know what's happening. I don't understand it. Will you pray for me? And she's like, oh yeah, I will. And I know that she's going to be praying for me. And so when I'm hurting, I have some friends, specific friends that I call. When I'm stressed, typically, when I'm stressed, I call the men I know. I've been on pastoral staff with lots of guys, and so I have some pastors that I've known over the years, and we have a network, and we keep up with one another, and when I'm stressed, I'll call one of them. They are typically not the ones I call when I'm hurting. Not the guys, you know. But, of course, I have my husband, and I do talk to him, but I'm talking about outside of your family. But I have some of those that I talk to when I'm really stressed, and I'll say, man, this is what is going on with me. Can you help me with this? Have you got a different perspective on this? Sometimes you need somebody to tell you that, you know. And sometimes you just need somebody to listen to you. Most of the time, that's the way we ladies are. We just need somebody to listen to us. We don't want them to fix it. The guys sometimes try to fix it. But usually we just want somebody to listen to us and tell us it's going to be okay, that tomorrow's going to be better. You ladies are being really quiet, and I'm going to let you get by with that in this first few minutes, but then we're going to talk some. All right. And the other thing you really need is when you're successful, do you ever come home from work or school or wherever and you go, yes, this was a good day and this happened to me. I am so excited. This is what I nailed at work today. This is what I accomplished. And when you do that, you want somebody to tell that to, don't you? Don't you want to share that success? And you want somebody that's going to listen and say how happy they are that you did really well in something. You want somebody that's going to celebrate with you. So we need relationships so that we, when we are successful, we've got someone to share that with. And it's very hard for singles if you don't have that. It's really hard when you come home. And if you live alone and you don't have somebody to celebrate with you, I want to encourage you to begin to build up a network of people. Think about it. Maybe out here beside of this list, you would like to write the names of someone that when you're lonely, you're comfortable enough to call them and say, I am really hurting today. I'm lonely. At one of our singles groups, there's a gentleman who comes only for the food activities. And somebody asked him about that one time. Absolutely sweet, sweet person. But he was always there for that. And he said, I don't like to eat alone. And this is the only place I can come and sit down and have a meal and have people around me. And that's important. And you don't think about that. We jump to all kinds of conclusions really quick. We all do that. But that was his need in his life. He did okay otherwise, but every now and again, he just wanted somebody to sit down and have a meal with him. And so we need people that we can talk to. So put names down there as you think about it. If you're hurting, who are you going to call? Who's going to be really helpful to call? If you're really stressed out, who can handle stress? Everybody doesn't handle stress. Can she handle stress really well? Does she handle your stress? All right. So we're going to talk about your relationship today. Just teasing. But that's great. Everybody doesn't handle stress. Some of our friends can't handle us when we're stressed. All right. The problem is not that we need people, but that we often pick the wrong people to connect with. Anybody in this room ever connected with the wrong person? Well, yes, you did, because you're all right. You think you did, because you had a marriage situation that was really tough, right? So that was, sometimes you definitely feel like you connected wrong there. But we connect with people. It can be people we date, people we marry, people we work with, people at church. Church is, it's sad to say, but it's pretty much like everywhere else. You're going to bump into people who really don't know the Lord, who aren't committed to Him, and they aren't Christian, but they do attend church. And a lot of those do attend singles groups. Just like it's Dennis was talking this morning, they're cruising around, seeing what they can find. They do that in our singles group. They cruise in. The guys do check out the girls. If none of the girls suit them, they cruise on to the next one. We have ladies who come in looking, do the very same thing. They cruise on. You need relationships. You need good Christian relationships. What we do instead of letting God connect us with people, those people He wants us to connect with. You see, that's the key. We need to ask God, God, who do you want me to connect with? And it may not be the person that looks like you think they should look for you to connect with them. They may not be a person who is even economically in the same bracket you are. They may dress totally different. One of the interesting things over the years, I headed up women's ministry for years. One of the things was that the women, you could look at them, and we have those ladies who are very trendy in how they dress, those who are not so trendy, and those who really don't give a flip. And that's okay, regardless of whichever category you fall into. And you just need to accept that about people. That's personality. People have different personalities. We need to learn to celebrate the differences in people. Celebrate the differences. And when you celebrate the differences in people, you can begin to appreciate them. You can begin to connect with them. When you let your prejudices drop, they don't have to be the same color you are. They don't have to be from the same country you are. Just let everything go and say, God, here I am. I am open to connect with any person that you want me to connect with. Sometimes it'll be a person that really brings a lot into your life. Sometimes you're going to bring a lot more into their life. But let God do the connecting and be ready for the surprises, because serving God is always so exciting. It will not be boring. He will move you right into a situation where you might be a little challenged. But eventually it'll be a relationship that you will enjoy. So we take the selection process into our own hands, and we don't always end up in relationships that glorify the Lord or that really are helpful to us. Have you ever said one of the following things to yourself? Why does it seem that too often I give my best in a relationship only to get the worst in return? Anybody here ever really invested in a relationship and you give and you give and you get nothing back? Okay. How can I learn to pick better friends? That is a tough decision to make. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to give you a few practical hints. Why do I tend to choose to get close to people who let me down? Do you seem to attract people who, every relationship you get into, male or female, after a little while they let you down and you are just so disappointed and you're like, I'm going to be a hermit. I'm just going to go move somewhere and never associate with anybody again. How do I seem to attract irresponsible people? Those people who always need something from you. Those people who don't take care of themselves or take care of their vehicles or take care of their relationships or take care of any responsibilities that they have. What is it about me that seems to draw the wrong types? Anybody in here a jerk magnet? No. I was going to say, don't raise your hand, but that's okay. Sometimes you really feel like, as ladies, and the guys do too sometimes, but not that they're jerk magnets, but that they really attract the wrong kind of people. But you do. You feel like you're a jerk magnet. It's just like you walk into the room and you're attracted to this guy over here, and it's like he is a jerk. After a little while, you figure that out. Well, we're going to talk about how to figure that out a little earlier on so you can make those decisions and not be a jerk magnet. There's this one lady. I know she's just adorable. She had gone through a really tough divorce. Very bouncy, very cute, young. And her husband, just lots of things went on there. And she started dating again. And I told her, I said, you know, you need to have a little more discernment about the guys that you date. Because you're dating the same type of man that you that just walked out on you. And you don't want to do that. So I said, we need to talk about this. And next time, let's look for a different type. And let's look for some different things. And let's have some different criteria for who am I going to date? Who am I going to have a relationship with? So she's done that this time. And she was telling me just the other day, she's like, now he's not the most handsome man in the world. But he is so sweet and he treats me so good. And I think I could get excited about him. And I'm like, that a girl. So if you've got friends like that, you need to encourage them in that direction. What is character discernment? Oh, I'm sorry. What is character discernment? It's the ability to identify who is good for you and who isn't. Everyone is not good for you. Do we treat everyone with respect? Do we value every person? Yes, we do. And to a degree, in Christian charity, we always reach out to help and love other people. Did Jesus treat all of his disciples the same? No, he did not. He always had the garden friends. In the garden, he had three of his disciples with him. And all the important things, go back if you're familiar with the word. If you're not, do a little research on it. There were certain ones that he always had with him. The others, he left them in the outer court or somewhere else. He had his garden friends. We all need garden friends. And let me encourage you, if nobody's ever given you permission, you don't have to invite everybody into your life. If they're not good for you, well, it's kind of hard, but I have this term that I tell my daughters, kick them to the curb, honey, and move on. And that's male or female, because there are some people who will absolutely not be healthy for you to have close relationships with. And if you find that kind of person, as gently as you can, as Christian as you can, you need to move on from them. Because you need people in your life that are going to be good people, that are going to pour into your life, that you're going to have some lasting relationships with. I heard there's an old saying that says, if you can die with 10 good friends, you have been lived a successful life. And that is so true. As you get older, you will see as you move through life, you have people that are so close to you, and then all of a sudden there'll be a new event in your life, and they'll fall away from you. Had a close friend that way, my husband and I. We bought a different house, and the Lord blessed us, and we moved up a little bit, you know, in the kind of house that we had. After that, they couldn't deal with it. Our friends couldn't deal with it, and they just quit coming around. And that's tough, because we were really close. You'd think nothing could have come up. If you'd asked us a year earlier, could anything come up to break this relationship, we would have said no. We've been through everything together. We've, you know, had our kids together. We've gone through all the diseases together and all the in-law problems and all the things that you deal with in life and made it. And then all of a sudden, who would have thought? You get a little, not that it was that successful, it was just a change. And they couldn't deal with it, so that broke that relationship. So you need people that are going to be good for you. The right people are individuals who draw you closer to the people God, to the person that God intended you to be. Now the trick to that is to know, who did God intend you to be? Some people do not have a real healthy self-esteem. And so the first thing you have to know is, who does God expect me to be? You need to know how valuable you are to God, how much He loves you, how precious you are to Him. Every one of us, every one of us. He loves us unconditionally. And you need to, first of all, love yourself. And allow God to show you how to do that in a healthy way. We're not talking about being conceited. We're not talking about thinking more highly of yourself than you ought, because that's not good. But to know, who does God call me to be? What kind of person does God want me to connect with that's going to really their presence in my life is going to be a positive thing for me. Because you know what? You go to work. How many people at work or at school are absolutely so interested in your life, they will just do anything to help you? You may have one, you may have two. But usually as we go out into the world, we are drawn back. Constantly, they are pulling from us. You have to put out, and we're drained. So you need people to pour into your life that are good for you, that make you feel good about yourself, and that recognizes that God created you, that you are valuable in His sight, and that they know that God has a wonderful plan for you. And if something wonderful happens in your life, they can be excited for you. That's one of the things I found out. A lot of people, when you're down and out, can be your friend. But it's the true friend will also stick with you when you're successful, and particularly if you end up being more successful. They'll still be your friend when you find that absolutely right guy and you're getting married. They're going to be excited for you. They're going to wish it was them, but that's okay. They're going to be excited for you. Or when God has just absolutely opened an incredible door for you somewhere, that's when you know you have a real true friend, is when they can be happy for you and they're good for you. And they help us bear good fruit in our lives. Most of us know what we want in relationship with others. The problem is that we often pick the wrong people to trust. So we're going to talk a little bit about... How many Bibles do we have here today? If you have a Bible, you don't have to read out loud. I just kind of want... Does anybody... There's one Bible at that table. Okay, would one of you be kind enough to move over to this table with your Bible? Just one of you. Oh, thank you. And I'll put this one here. And you don't have to, if you don't like to read, it's okay. All right? Just let all your defenses down. If you don't like to read in public, that's all right. There's no pressure here. We're just going to look at some scriptures. How does God describe people that He has a problem with? And I'd like for this table, Isaiah 29:13. And if one of you would like to read that, this table, Joshua 22:16. This one, let's do Psalms 36:2 on this one. Somebody just find it. And then if one of you wants to read it, you can. And if nobody does, that's okay too. Well, we won't push you that far out of your comfort zone. Psalms 36:2. So let's just look at a few scriptures like that. Do you have Isaiah 29:13? Okay, no pressure here. Just read God's word. That's it. Okay, Isaiah 29:13.
All right. And so the Lord says, "These people say they are mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away, and their worship of me amounts to nothing more than human laws learned by rote."
Right. Okay. Thank you. All right. So what kind of problems do we see there? God's saying He has a problem with what kind of people? People who are inauthentic, who look like they show up at church, they lift their hands during praise and worship, they have all the right moves, but in their heart they do not love and worship the Lord. They're the person, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, that are inauthentic with you. And always agree with you. Always be very concerned if somebody agrees with you all the time. The Lord says a good friend wounds us sometimes, and the friends of a wound... The wounds of a friend are a good thing. Because that helps us grow. Okay, Joshua 22:16. Who wants to read that one? Either one of you can. Whoever would like.
22:16. Okay. Oops, it's on here. Okay.
thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, what trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, in that ye have built you an altar, that ye might rebel this day against the Lord?
So rebellion. Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is one of the things that the Lord, when people are rebellious, he has a problem with that. How about Psalms 36:2?
For in his own eyes he whiters himself too much to detect or hate his sin.
Mm-hmm. Anybody know someone like that? They are really so self-inflated in their ego. They think they have got it all together. You see the guys, you know. Cool. They're cool. They walk into a room. Well, let's say they kind of sway into the room, you know. Check out the group. I am cool. I am good. You would be blessed if I even came up and talked to you. You know? You see them. It's true. You know what? You can look at them. They come in. That's a jerk. Don't go with him. It's true. And sometimes you see that. You see that with women, too. It's not just guys. I'm picking on the guys today. But sometimes you see that with women. And the women, they just think, oh, honey, I have got it. I am thinner than you. I am prettier than you. My nose don't look like yours. And I dress better than you do. I got a better job than you have. I got the fellas. You got none. Whatever. And so, in that respect, they think more highly of themselves than they are. Well, let me tell you, life can change very quickly. Sometimes life can change in a second. And all that you had, and all that you thought made you such a big person can be gone. That's what happened to Job. God allowed Satan to take it all away. But of course, God gave it back. Because Job stayed true to God and believed him for it. It's a very dangerous thing to think more highly of yourself than you ought. It's a very dangerous thing to think you have it all together. And when you associate with people like that, it's always about them and never about you. If you have to be around them, sometimes if you're really close to them, you can look at them and say, you should not think more highly of yourself than you should. Because if you do, and you truly love God, He's going to bring you down to teach you. If you will not attune your ear to His voice and let Him correct you. Oh, if the Lord loves you, He's going to correct you. Man, I have been corrected so much in my life. I feel like sometimes I am on such a short chain. One of those choker chains, you know, like you walk a dog and then you pull it and it chokes and it'll stop. And no, I'm not referring to God as in that manner necessarily. Just to say that, and I'm very thankful about it after I'm quit complaining about it happening a little bit. But God corrects us if He loves, because He loves us. And if we listen to Him, He's going to correct us, and sometimes it's going to be very painful. So I try to listen, because if I don't listen and allow Him to correct me, He's going to send somebody along the way, and it's going to be very painful. And I'm going to be very embarrassed and feel very foolish. So that's a few. You can look those others up on your own, if you would, please. Take those notes. Hopefully, you're going to take these home, and you're going to go back over them, okay? The wrong people. Individuals who cannot be trusted because of their character problems. Goes back to that character discernment. Some people have more discernment than others. I've met people who have the spiritual gift of discernment, and man, they can just walk by. And it's like, whew, that is not a person I need to get involved with. They are into some major stuff. But then there are people who are very open to anyone that they meet, and they just are so kind-hearted, so loving, so full of mercy, and they just don't think in those terms. They would never think a person might be that way. And sometimes that's very hidden. It's always good to have somebody in your life that you trust, that you feel has an understanding of people or has that gift of discernment. And the other thing that's important is when you see that they have that proven ability is to listen to what they have to say to you. I had a situation one time with a person, and I tried very hard to say, this person that you're having this relationship with is like this. This is a hidden thing. God has shown me this. Please be careful. Please be careful. Move very slowly here because I think this is what you're going to see. And they didn't want to move slowly. They didn't want to be careful. And then they really paid a price for it. So if maybe your discernment's not all that good, find somebody that has that wonderful gift of discernment. And then the next time you meet a guy or a person that you feel like you would really like to get to know, to create a relationship with, move slowly with it, and say to this other person, when you look at this person and talk to them, what kind of sense in your heart and in your spirit do you get about them? And then be careful. Move slowly. Okay. Very important. The wrong kind of people generally fall into three categories. They're those people who will abandon you. They start a relationship, but they can't complete it. I don't want to use an overall comment, but many men are that way. The closer the relationship gets, they get scared and they pull away. But ladies do that also. I've seen almost equally as many women, once they begin to get close to someone, then they begin to pull back. They begin to pull back and they are concerned that maybe they don't want to get left again. Once you've been rejected, once you've been left, it makes you really cautious about that kind of thing. So you want to be careful that you don't become that person that abandons a relationship. If you start relationships and you don't have long-term relationships, then somewhere along the way the problem is with you and you need to get along with the Lord and say, God, show me what I'm doing wrong. Or get along with someone that you trust, that is your friend, that knows you very well, that will love you enough to look at you and say, this is what I see you doing. So the wrong people will abandon you. They will not stay in the relationship. Critics, those are people who take a parent, and there is a typo in there. I apologize, that was supposed to be a slash in your notes. A parent role with everyone they know. Have you ever been with a person... Now, I have this problem, particularly with my girls, and they'll tell you, that, you know, I'm always the parent. Well, I am. My mother is 79. She's still my mom. She still treats me, you know, sometimes like I'm 15 every now and again. And I think moms have a tendency to do that. And she'll just say, you're mine? You're mine till I die, and after that you're still mine. And so, but moms, that's okay. They are, mom and dads are your parents. And no matter what age group you're in, they're still your parents. Good, bad, or indifferent. You love them, you respect them. But people who always want to correct what you do, everything you do, and they're constantly on your back about don't do this, don't do that, and nothing you do is good enough. Move on. You don't need that. Those are some wrong people you don't need to be associated with. Those people who are responsible, they don't really take care of themselves. They don't take care of their responsibilities. Maybe no matter their word is not good. They'll tell you, they'll do something. Now all of us have problems come up and we always can't keep our word. But on a general basis, the right person that's going to have a right influence in your life should be a person of integrity that keeps their word, that does what they're supposed to do when they're supposed to do it. Irresponsible people don't take care of money, they don't take care of things, and they don't take care of relationships. You do not need to be in relationship with a person who does not value you. What are the danger signs? Oh, I like this. Don't we wish we had a flashing red light that, you know, when this person came up, they said, watch out, look for the, you know, we say red flags. If we did that, we could say, okay, all right, here. All right, in this relationship, what kind of signs are there? There's some danger here. You need to learn to make wise decisions about how to safely handle your relationships. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Sometimes I feel more incomplete than others. I really need that scripture. I'm like, okay, God started a good work in me. He's going to complete it. Because I feel that I fall so short some days. And sometimes we go through those valleys that Justin talked about last night. Wasn't that excellent? That was so good. Those valleys, and you just feel like, I just have missed it. Is God ever going to be able to do anything with me? But know that God can complete that. And that includes in your relationships. On your paper, I don't have this on our PowerPoint, how to make relationships that grow. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes some time. And this is how you begin to strengthen with one another. And I want you at the tables you're at to talk a little bit about that. One of the things is sharing history. The second one is sharing affirmation, sharing activities, and sharing dreams. And we're just going to take a few minutes. And I know you've had to connect a lot this week. And if you're not a connecting person, but this is about relationships. And one of the ways that you begin to get to know someone is to find out something about them. People are really interesting. Sometimes you listen and you can meet the most interesting people. And they can just tell you some things about themselves. Sometimes we tend to be a little judgmental. Maybe if we met, I'm sorry, I don't see your name tag.
Carolyn.
We might be a little judgmental about it. Carolyn couldn't hold her marriage together there. But then again, and Carolyn, I don't know you, so this doesn't apply to you. So I'm just saying though, you know. And so maybe we would we'd meet Carolyn, and if we were a critical person, we could say, she couldn't hold her marriage together. Wonder why that. Wonder what's wrong with her. You know, that kind of thing. But then if we got to know Carolyn, maybe we'd talk to Carolyn and say, Carolyn, tell me about what's happened in your life. And she might say, well, I've been through a divorce. And this is what happened to me. And then you begin to hear. And you begin to hear her history. And then you begin to talk to her about history. I'm sorry to be
here. Oh, that's okay.
And then you begin to talk about her, your history. What's made you cry? What's hurt you? And then you become more understanding of who she is. Why her life has been hard. And you know what? The next time something comes up and she has a response, you can cut her some slack. Because you have history. You know her history. Perhaps you might know Phyllis here is going to be working with abandoned children. They're going to have huge issues. And she's going to be there to help them. She's going to know that history. She's going to be able to bring people into their lives to help them. And as you begin to understand people's history, you might have been critical of a person, and then as you begin to understand their history, you're like, no wonder they're that way. I really need to love them and help them through that. Everybody has things in their life. Man, I've had some things in my life that have left some scars on me. And sometimes I react away, and I try really hard to grow and not let it affect my life and my responses to people. And sometimes somebody will say to me, you need to pull back the fangs a little bit. It didn't deserve that kind of reaction. So pull back a little bit. But that's my history. So what I want you guys to do, good history, bad history, let's just be a little open. Because that's what relationships are about. That's what is going to create a relationship that lasts. Just maybe one thing. It can be something funny. I want you to follow that real quickly. Just a couple of minutes. Share one thing from your history. Then I want you to say one affirming thing about every person at your table. one-liner. You don't have to know them. But after they talk a little bit, because as you begin to affirm one another, you begin to feel comfortable. You begin to feel accepted. And then we're doing an activity here. We're in a conference. All right. We have a shared activity. You could look back if you met someone later. A year. I remember you from the conference in Greensboro. Hey, we hung out. We had a good time. We had a ice cream sundae together, or we were in a class, and it was so funny. And so you have a shared activity. What do you dream about? If you don't have a dream, get one. Everybody needs a dream. Everybody needs a dream. So maybe you've got a dream you'd like to share. This is a safe group to share it in. We're going to talk about safe people this afternoon. That's one of the sessions, about how to figure out who a safe person is. And you pick safe people to have lasting relationships with. So we'll start here, here, and here, and just jump right in. Doesn't have to be witty. Doesn't have to be smart. It can be one sentence. We're going to start about something that happened in your history. Go ahead there. Don't everybody start at one time. Start with sharing your history. Mm-hmm. Anything. Finish where you're at, but after that, share a quick affirmation. Say something nice about every person at your table. You didn't get the dress code, did you? So you don't have to go in order. Just think of something nice to say about one or two or all the people at your table. Look at them. Tell them they have beautiful brown eyes. tell them you love their hairdo. You want to take a picture on your camera phone so you can show it to the hairdresser. Yes, nice. Or you have a wonderful smile. You look like somebody I'd like to get to know. And what is your major? That's exciting. Very good. So have you ladies shared your dreams yet? Oh, got to share a dream. You want to share a dream in any area of your life.
Okay, that's right.
You know, it can be professional, personal. It can be related to ministry. lots of dreams. And if you don't have a dream, you think, if I could do anything in the world, and I would have the time and the money, and there would be no obstacles, what would I do? That's what you need to decide. You gonna let her put hers down for you? We got yours. We have your number. We've got that. You ladies are doing it. If you need to stand up for just a minute, we have about 25 more minutes, so.
You know, commercial for bare minerals, where it's that powder
Okay, ladies, we've got just a few more minutes. Kind of bring it to a close, and we'll wrap everything up. Okay, ladies, 1 minute. Okay. Hopefully, you have been able to share some history. You've affirmed one another. We're doing a shared activity today, and hopefully you shared a dream. And you didn't get to the dreams, did you? Well, you'll have to do that in a few minutes. And if you don't, everybody needs a dream. If you don't have a dream, think, what would I do tomorrow morning if I woke up and I could do anything in the world I wanted to do? Make it a big dream, because God can handle big dreams and big dreamers. All right. Four steps to building relationships. We've just gone through those four steps. We've shared some history. That starts the process. Let me caution you, when you're sharing your history, you don't have to be totally open about everything you've done. If you've made some less than smart moves, you don't want to tell. You don't want to tell people about all your failures. John Maxwell one time said that. You meet some people and they'll tell you about it. Start telling you, well, I failed here and I failed there. And you're going, well, why am I wasting my time talking to you? You're probably going to fail again. So you just share that part. If you've learned something, you can be helpful to someone else. Now, when you get really close to people and over a period of years and you feel comfortable, that's fine. You can, as you feel you can share some of those things. But you just share what you've learned from your past. And it's a great way to start because everyone has a unique past. We're unique. God created us unique. We're from different parts of the country. We came from different kinds of family. We're all different. Celebrate our differences and learn the uniqueness of the people around you. We share affirmation because it nurtures the relationship. Relationships are living things. You have to put time and effort and let people know that you value them and that you want this relationship to go to a different level. Now, that can be with other ladies or male-female kinds of things. And then sometimes you may be in a relationship that you want to say, I want it to stay right here, and I'm not ready for it to go anywhere else right now. But still, you need to nurture a relationship. If you begin to find that there's a person that you want to get to know, ladies, there are lots of things you can do. It doesn't have to be a lot of time because everybody is very busy. So you can have to make time. That was one of my New Year's resolutions. Over the years, I have been blessed with so many incredible people that I know, some from this church, one of the ladies particularly from this church who is my dear friend, and I just don't have enough time to keep up with them. Even in the days of cell phones and emails and that kind of thing, you kind of get lost in your own life and you let some of those treasured relationships go by the wayside. So hang on to those because they're valuable and will bless your life and bless other people. Sharing activities, it bonds us together. This, I guess a year and a half ago, I was over in Honduras with Phyllis. And we still laugh about some of the fun. We had the best time. We did lots of serious ministry, but we also had some great fun. You ought to see Phyllis drive in Honduras. Any of you that have ever been in a Latin American country and, you know, nobody looks at the stop signals and it's bumper to bumper and it is incredible. I love it. And I trusted her with my life. I got in a vehicle with her and I was so impressed. I mean, she drove with the best of them. And sometimes we just laugh about that. There are a few things. And
if you were in that white Bronco behind us last night, you'll know what she's doing.
She really just cut that guy off like that. But you need to have fun. And sometimes when the relationship gets strained, it's a good thing to go back and say, hey, listen, we used to hang out when we were in high school. We used to do one another's nails. We used to talk about guys. We used to double date. Our kids grew up, depending on how old you are, how much history you've got behind. Some of us have a lot more history than the others. I probably have more history than anybody else in the room, so at this point, but because of age. But you need to go back to that point and say, you know, we used to hang out. We used to be friends. Remember when you were sick and in the hospital or when this was going on in my life and you came and you helped me? And sometimes it's a real good reconnecting point for you if you disconnect. So we need to bond with people because it shows them that we're committed to that relationship. And you have memories. And the older you get, the more valuable memories are for you. I remember one of my things with my girls was I can buy them a lot of things, but those will break. But the memories that I give them will last a lifetime. And there are certain things today, silly things, they're grown, we still laugh about that happened, like on a trip to Disney, and there was this lady, and she was a waitress, and one of them accidentally spilled the orange juice, and it was fresh squeezed. And they're in Florida, boy, that was serious. And the lady was like, "Ooh, did we have a little bit of a oopsie here?" So anybody after that, the service was, "Ooh, did we have a little bit of a oopsie here?" So you get those little things in your family and your friends, and you have these little comments you make. And so it's fun. You have memories of times when, and you know those bad memories? You let those go. You just have to, Lord, just let those go. I have painful memories. When they come along, I just have to say, Lord, just help me with it. Take it away. Let me refocus here. Focus on this. All of us have had pain in our life, and you have to do that. But just replace them with lots of good memories. Bring those back with our friends. Have activities. Do things together. Sit and laugh. Justin was right. We don't laugh near enough, and laughing is so healthy. All right. Sharing dreams. Oh, you have to be so careful who you share your dreams with. You need to make sure that they're a person that won't laugh at you, because many times your very best friends, the people you have the closest relationships with, are going to be the people that are wanting to shrink your dream. They're wanting to take that dream away from you. They try not to laugh. You want to do what? And you think God is going to do what with you? Can God really ever use you? Now, come on. I love you. I'm your best friend, but I know you. So when you share your dream, it gives you hope for the future. And it creates a common mission. But God will send dream makers into your life. People who will support you in your dreams and your hopes. And when you share that, you build lasting relationships that can take you to places that are bigger than even you have ever dreamed of. God has an incredible destiny for every single one of us. And along that way, along our life's journey, He's going to bring relationships into our lives. People that we can connect with. People that we can grow with. People that we can cry with. People that we can dream with. And you need to allow God to show you who those people are and to move along that process. And just enjoy the journey. And then, when it comes time for you to go home to be with the Lord, if you've got 10 really close good friends, then you know that you have been a good friend also. And that you've enjoyed a full life. Because you've got friends. People are so important. We do need one another. We need one another in the body of Christ. We need one another to make it through the day sometimes, to make it through the week, to make it through those tough times in our life. We need to lean on one another. We lean first and foremost on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the number one most important person to have a relationship with. But He is the building stone. He is the cornerstone, and all of our relationships are built on that cornerstone of Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time together. I thank You for the privilege, Lord, of sharing this time with these ladies. I pray that You would touch, bless, heal, comfort, encourage each and every one of them. I pray, Lord, that You would bring wonderful people into their lives that they could have good, lasting relationships with, that they could grow and love and understand one another, that we could share our sorrows, that we could share our successes, that we could understand that You want us to love one another. You want us to value one another. You want us to celebrate the differences that we have. We pray, Lord, that as we continue on through through this week, that your voice would begin to speak to us. If there's anything in our life that keeps us from being the friend that we need to be, from creating the relationships that we need, I pray, Lord, that you would show that to us. And in your loving, sweet, kind voice, that you would say, this needs to be changed in your life. This is what's holding you back. And that we would listen, and that we would immediately be obedient to your voice. We thank you for it, Lord. What a good, loving God you are. How unconditionally you love us and accept us. And you love us so much, you'll not leave us where we are, but you will help us grow to be the people that you have called us to be, to fulfill the destiny that you've placed before us. And the people that you want to go with us on that journey. And we thank you for it. And everything, Lord, that we do, we give you all glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In your precious name, amen.